The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. To find out more about this talk show or other talk shows broadcasting on KUCI, log on to our website at kuci.org or check out the latest program guide.
You're listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. Welcome to Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. I'm Lloyd, I'm the show's engineer, and your host is Mari Frank. Mari's been an attorney mediator for 26 years, and during that time she's resolved thousands of disputes as a neutral conflict healer. She's a member of the Orange County Superior Court Mediation Panel, and she's been a law professor of negotiations and mediation, and presently teaches negotiations right here at UCI. She's the author of Negotiations Breakthroughs and co-author of Stepping Stones to Success and several other books. To listen to previous interviews, see upcoming guests, download podcasts, and learn more, visit www.conflicthealing.com. So, Mari, what's your show about today?
Our show today is about receiving. And I have this wonderful book sitting right in my hand. It's called The Power of Receiving: A Revolutionary Approach to Giving Yourself the Life You Want and Deserve. And it's by Amanda Owen. And another one of my favorite authors and a wonderful woman's physician, Christine Northrup, says this. She says, "The power of receiving is brilliant, elegant, profound, and enormously practical. This book will help you learn the fine art of receiving." So I think this is, you know, if we can receive and give, that is such a helpful approach to resolving conflict too, because we learn how to give of ourselves and receive lovingly and let others give to us. So let me tell you a little bit about this wonderful author, Amanda Owen. She is also, aside from being an author, she's also a speaker and a consultant, and she's been presenting lectures and workshops since the mid-80s on a variety of topics in the spirituality, empowerment, and self-improvement genre. Her research during the last 20 years into the nature of receptivity and its link to manifestation led her to develop a system that helps people manifest the lives that they really want by developing their capacity to receive. She reports her findings in her latest book, The Power of Receiving: A Revolutionary Approach to Giving Yourself the Life You Want and Deserve. And this is a Penguin book from 2010, which mine was too. I want you to learn more about Amanda at our website at conflicthealing.com and also at her website at thepowerofreceiving.com. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Mari. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, we're all taught our whole lives about it's better to give than receive. So, you know, I mean, everybody hears that. You hear that in churches. You hear that from, you know, spiritual leaders. You hear that in school all the time. It's better, you know, when your charities are trying to get you to give money.
Yeah.
So how does the ability to receive really help people?
Well, you know, it's interesting when we think about giving. You're so right. We always talk about it's better to give than receive. Yet, isn't it interesting that for every act of giving, there's a recipient, there is a receiver for
yes.
every giver.
Yes.
So it's we always, in our culture, we're so focused on the doing giving part, and we ignore the receiving part. And I think this really has a lot of implications, not only for our personal relationships, but even at a wider level for us as a society. Like, we can't ignore 50% and feel that we are in balance, actually.
You know, I think it's really important that you give us a kind of a comparison of what the difference is between being a taker and a receiver, because I think people are afraid if they receive, then they're going to be considered a taker.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you talk about that in your book. Why don't you explain that?
Yeah, that's such a good question, and I know this is the idea of receiving. It's like we don't really have a nuanced vocabulary in our culture for receiving, so we lump a lot of things into the same basket, so to speak. So whether we're taking or receiving, we don't really think of them differently. And this kind of serves to prohibit us from receiving. I have a motto: for every giver, there's a receiver. For every doer, there's a taker. And the way I explain this is that doing is very often born out of a social role. This is what a good mother does. This is what a good boss does, or a good coworker, a good daughter, a good Christian, a good friend. That we have these ideas about kind of what a good person is and what they do. Very often these acts of doing are devoid of any authentic desire to give. And we're just kind of propelled to kind of be in this role. When that happens, there's always another person at the end of that dynamic, so to speak, who is happy to take whatever you have to give to them. So we know these people are, you know, people who always have their hand out. They feel entitled. They feel everybody should do for them. Very often these relationships can end up, on the one hand, be somebody who is an enabling behavior.
The codependent.
The codependent kind of relationship, and kind of and confused about really how to rectify that, because they want to be a good person and they want to be a giving person, and in fact they are giving people.
Right.
But they don't know how to kind of create more reciprocity in their relationship. So I ask people to really pay more attention to where their giving is coming from, to be a little bit more in touch with their own feelings about what feels right for them in terms of what they want to do or not do.
Right. You know, one thing I've learned in my old age here is that when I receive, I'm actually giving the other person the opportunity to give, which makes them feel good.
That's so true.
And, you know, for such a long time, I'm one of these doers and givers. And, you know, being a single mom for a long time, that was something, you know, you learn you have to do that.
Yeah.
And all these things that you do that you're giving and you're not, you don't even have enough time or energy to even sit there and receive.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when I finally got it, that I thought, oh my gosh, because I have a friend who doesn't really allow me to give that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I feel a little bit resentful.
Yes.
Because I don't have that. I'm not giving the gift of giving. And
yes.
So
yes.
It hit me that if I learn to receive and be a gracious and a grateful and a really a, you know, very happy receiver, that I have just given the gift to the other person of feeling really good that they could give to me. So, you know, if you're a receiver, if you're really a receiver and not a taker, like you just explained, you're really giving the other person that chance to give that you like to do.
It's so true. And, you know, Mari, when we experience giving and receiving, you know, that when we kind of give and energy goes out and then the receiver brings that energy in, it's like completing an energy circuit.
Yes.
And that transaction feels good to both people. When we're doing and taking, interestingly, both people feel exhausted. Both
yes.
people feel resentful often on both sides of that. So giving and receiving feel kind of replenishing and renewing, and you feel really good about the interaction that is going on.
And it has to be genuine. You know, that's I guess, the difference with taking versus receiving. It's really genuine, you know, that you're really appreciating and that you're, and the same thing with giving. If it's doing, and just because you feel you have to do, you don't get the joy out of it, like you were saying.
I think that's true. And I think there's also just such, when we're doing out of this, you know, kind of more social role that doesn't feel right for us, I think for most people, we don't really distinguish that. So when people are doing, they do have that giving impulse in them. You know,
right.
That can be very real, but it's kind of like an act gone awry.
Yeah. It's almost like you're obliged to do it and you're not really getting the joy out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And when that happens, very often people will kind of keep giving. They'll think, well, maybe I'll gain more reciprocity in my relationship if I'm giving the other person. We'll see what that looks like, and that will help them.
Or, right.
If I'm giving, at least I'll feel better about myself. But the fact is, what I've come to see is that this kind of doing is really an unnatural state, and this is why we end up paying a high price for it. That when it's kind of when we both give and receive. This is kind of like that yin-yang symbol.
Right,
it's
right.
Like activity and receptivity that is in a beautiful flowing balance. That's reflected in all of nature. When we are the person who's doing all the time or giving all the time, that is actually very unnatural, and that's why there are, such consequences for this behavior.
Right. I have a friend right now who... I'm going to give her your book or make her buy it, but she doesn't have the money right now. But that kind of leads to what I was going to say. I have a very good friend now from my spiritual home, and she's having a hard time because, you know, she's older and she isn't working. You know, she only has a part-time job. She's trying to get another full-time job. Mm-hmm. And people give to her. I give to her. Other people give to her. And she appreciates it. But she feels so bad because she feels she has nothing to give back.
Yeah.
And I keep telling her, look, you know, just a kind word is giving. You know, it doesn't always have to be a monetary thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going over to that person's house and making lunch for them with their food or doing something for them. It doesn't have to be tit for tat. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. What are your thoughts about that?
Yes, I so agree, and I think this is, you know, again, so cultural. We kind of divide up the giver and the receiver, but we have very ambivalent feelings about what it means to receive. And I think this is why, even if we see, you know, like a homeless person on the street, we can feel embarrassed for them, or that person can feel a lot of shame. We can turn our eyes away when we see somebody in need.
Right.
And this is even for the situation that your friend is in, is we have this idea in our culture that it is shameful, really, to be given to. It's so interesting that in Buddhist cultures, you know, there are monks who actually beg for alms.
Yes. I mean, I was in Thailand. And that's, I had one of our university tour guides, you know, he had to go and be a monk for a couple years. And he told us, yes, that we go and that we have to ask for food. We have to ask for everything. And that was some part of their, you know, their learning opportunity.
Isn't that wonderful? Because just as you said, it's kind of, they give the gift to others of giving to them, but overall, I think that kind of way of life, it's a beautiful expression of unity, that we're all in this together.
Yes.
And that the giver and receiver are flip sides of the same coin, so to speak. You know, sometimes we give, sometimes we receive, but to kind of take away that shame and embarrassment, you know, from receiving, you know, is obviously helpful to anybody. And I think whether it's a situation that your friend is in or people who are victims of disasters like Hurricane Katrina or
Japan, the tsunami,
the tsunami. Even the economic times that we're in right now, where so many people are in a position of needing to receive help, yet having very conflicting feelings about what it means to be in this situation in their life. And so it's what I call twice traumatized, first by the event,
yes,
or their circumstances, and then by their own feelings about what it means to receive.
Yes, yes.
I love the advice or the counsel that you gave to your friend, just kind of this, you know, pay it forward.
Yeah, yeah.
We can give in so many ways that are not monetary.
Yes. And then I explained
to
her
way to look at it.
When I did a couple things for her and she was feeling bad. And I said, you just gave me this opportunity to tithe to you. I said, you know, you gave me a great deal spiritually. So you're supposed to tithe to where you get your spirituality. And I said, so you gave me the gift of allowing me to tithe, you know? And so I think it's very tough in our society. And I think I'm probably just as guilty as my friend in many ways. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? I get yes. that way. And I was having trouble here with my shoulder and my arm on my left side, a lot of things on my left side. And somebody said to me, well, Mari, that's your receiving side.
Oh, and, how interesting.
Yes. And I mean, I had a root canal on my left side. I had my left arm, I fell and broke my nose on my left side.
Oh,
everything
wow.
was, yeah, I was happy. This is all in 1 year, all these left side things. And I thought, what is going on here? And so I've really been paying attention that's my receiving side and really trying to really allow myself to receive, because I am one of those type A personalities. I do everything for everybody. I get it done. And I know that is an issue for me. So that's why I really, when I saw your book, I thought, okay, this is for me.
what a great example. But yes,
yeah.
I mean, for you, for so many people who are, you know, kind of go-getters, it's in their personality, kind of
yes.
go out and get things done. And
yes.
That this idea of kind of creating balance to replenish, to renew, to restore, store oneself. You know, it's so easy when we think of a car. We put gas in the car, the fuel, and then it'll only run for a certain amount of time, and then we put more fuel in or we eat food to replenish, you know, our physical systems, our bodies. Yet when it comes to our emotional expenditures,
yes,
we often, all of that goes by the wayside, and we don't think that we need to replenish ourselves and to receive from others, to receive, even if it's just quietness, to be able to kind of sit
yes.
and to take stock of our feelings, or just to take stock of our activities, what we've set in motion. Now, let us pause now and just stop and kind of, you know, think a little bit, ponder a little bit on what we've done so that we can be more receptive to what our next step might be and whatever our goal is that we that we want to achieve. So I think that a lot of the issue about not receiving is really a lack of education, that nobody has really taught us that it is as important to receive as it is to give.
Exactly.
Once you get this,
yes,
you kind of create a different paradigm in your life where you don't exhaust yourself. You find joy, actually, in receiving, you know, from other people, or even just receiving, receiving is so many things. An extended receive vocabulary is kind of spending time listening. We could mm-hmm. say talking is giving, but listening is receiving.
And giving. Because if you listen to a friend, or if I listen to you, I'm receiving your wisdom, but I'm also giving you the gift of listening.
That's so true.
Right?
And boy, there's the flip side of the same coin. You know, that we realize that giving and receiving, if I am totally present and listening to you, you know, that it's a gift. Anybody
yes.
would say that it's a gift to be fully listened to. And something that very often we don't do enough of.
Exactly. Now, how about conflict, since this show is really about conflict healing? So how is it that receiving can reduce conflict?
I believe that it reduces conflict first because receiving is such a natural state. So much conflict in relationship occurs when people feel there's a lack of equality or a lack of balance in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
often a person just, they feel underappreciated or unappreciated for all that they're giving.
Right.
Often people are giving, as I talked about earlier, in a social way that doesn't help them tune into what feels right for them and authentic, really. And so obviously it's almost the more we are in touch with who our authentic selves,
yes,
the more we have to contribute to our relationship, the less we overextend in our giving and practice receiving so that our giving and receiving is in balance. We also leave room for people to be more giving toward us in our relationships.
Yes.
And again, I think it's achieving a more natural state.
You know, I find one thing kind of hard in terms of receiving and the balance that you're talking about. I have some clients of mine that are pro bono, meaning I do for free. They are, a couple of them are victims of criminal identity theft. So it's a really tough situation for them. They don't know what to do. They are desperate. No other, some, you know, a lot of people don't know how to help them, but they don't have a penny to help me.
Yes.
I mean, to say help me, they don't have any money to hire anybody. So, you know, I'm doing some of this pro bono work and I want to give, and I'm thinking, to be really balanced, I should, you know, if I can think of ways, and this just kind of came to me as we're talking, is that for me not to feel like they're taking, and then I get resentful, you know, and I'm not expecting money, but I guess if I could give them some opportunity to give back to me in a way that they could give back to me that has nothing to do with money. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of like to the balance thing, and I... You know, because I find myself when I'm just exhausted doing all my work and trying to help them and not get my paid clients' work done because I'm overwhelmed with this other stuff because it's so ridiculous. You know, I'm thinking it would be easier. And then they call all the time. You know what I mean? They start to become takers rather than receivers, and it's a challenge for me.
Yes, I mean What I would say to this is that, you know, first of all, receiving is also receiving kind of your inner environment of your feelings.
Yes.
Of just where you are. And that's part of any skilled receiver's kind of receive practice. So in terms of what you feel able to energy-wise and time-wise do or not do, that is very important to be in touch with. One of the things,
boundaries is what you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've been doing that. I've been telling them I can do this. This is the here's the tasks that I'm giving you to perform. You must do these and I will do these and you get back to me when you do those, then I can give you some more. But you're kind of turning into a coach so that I can kind of wean them and empower them. But it is a real tough place to be.
Well, you know, one of the most surprising discoveries for me in kind of my study of receiving, and I do a lot of these 5-week courses called Receive and Manifest, and in fact, which the book is ultimately based on. But one of the things that surprised me is that I started realizing as I worked with people that the more skilled a receiver that someone became, the healthier their boundaries became.
Yes.
And I was really surprised. I thought at first this seems so counterintuitive because sometimes we can think of receptivity as passivity and not think of it as a dynamic state where it's actually an act of receiving. It is a dynamic state. And what I realized was that as people became, and myself as I was kind of doing my research and teaching these classes, as I became a more skilled receiver as well, that I discovered I was simply more in touch with my feelings, and I was better able, because I was really working with all data, including the environment of my feelings, that I was able to, my clients, to place kind of boundaries down in a really healthy way.
Yes.
So I think that to think of receiving as a very dynamic, active component is important. But that said, I love what you said about creating a pathway for giving back. And I think that
that's doable and not overwhelming for them. Do you know what I mean? That's
I know. Yeah, no, I do know what you mean. I've actually been thinking about that a lot lately, not only in personal relationships, but even for charities or NGOs.
Yes.
You know, that so often that we don't create the pathway back to give, so that we separate the giver and the receiver.
Yes.
Which is a very unnatural state. And so I do love what you're saying about creating those pathways, whether they come back to you, whether they are asked to kind of pay it forward.
Right, right.
You know, in some way. But just it kind of keeps that energy moving. And then as you become aware of, these are where I need to set my boundaries in terms of my pro bono work.
Yes.
And this is what I can ask people to do for me, you know, only call on these days or only.
Right, right.
I'm going to give you this many minutes or this many conversations.
Right. And as some of I've said, please email me with your questions.
Mm-hmm.
And if we need to talk about it, you know, if it's not something I can answer quickly, then I'll call you. You know, so I have been getting better about that. But I was thinking, you know, to me, I've had pro bono clients that were so appreciative, you know, constantly saying, oh, you are so wonderful. Oh, my God, you're my angel in disguise or all these things.
Yes.
You know, that was a way of receiving, too. So,
yes,
you know, when I get that kind of that nourishes me, too.
Definitely.
So but I can just see how I don't want to create a taker either, you know, and that's all that whole dance and balance. That can be so difficult.
Well, you know, it is. And really my motto, for every doer there's a taker, for every giver there is a receiver, is a way I know for me to remind myself, if I am feeling exhausted, resentful, or drained, I'm in a doing mode.
Yes.
And then I can kind of come back to myself and kind of reflect on how I'm feeling and look to see where I need to put my boundaries.
But you know,
balance.
Yeah, Amanda, you are so wonderful, and we are out of time. If you could believe that, So I just want to make sure that we say the name of your book again. This is Amanda Owen I'm talking to, and her book is The Power of Receiving. It's wonderful, and you can go to thepowerofreceiving.com. Amanda, I can't wait till you have your next book out. You got to just give me a quick call, and we'll set up another time to talk more about this, okay?
Oh, that would be lovely, Mari. I would love that.
Okay, you keep in touch and keep up the wonderful work that you're doing, and bless you for all that you're doing, okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, you've been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine and KUCI.org on the net. I'm Mari Frank, the host of Prescriptions for Healing Conflict. Join us every Monday morning at 8:30 right here, and also visit our website at conflicthealing.com. See our upcoming guests, download podcasts, listen to archived interviews, write us emails, and see more about conflict healing. Bye-bye. It's about trust. Yeah, yeah. It's about faith. It's about trust. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.